court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Perspective on legal frivolity.
I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Feels good to be here in the studio with you, Tommy.
Yeah, I just barely made it in here.
Yeah, kind of made your way down the stairs after your knee replacement surgery.
Yeah, at least I didn't have to roll down them. I was contemplating how was the best way to get down. That was one of the methods I was considering, just rolling.
I was standing below you, so if you had fallen, I would have let you crush me.
You would have broken my fall, wouldn't you?
Pretty much.
Or broken me, or you, or something, or both of us.
Yeah, so how was the surgery?
Well, I don't remember any of it.
That's good.
The guy that was the rep like for the actual replacement joint, he was a guy that I knew, I've gone golfing with before, and he was in it. So I was talking to him, and they had administered the anesthesia, and we were just talking back and forth. Next thing I knew, I woke up in the recovery room. But I'll tell you what, they didn't. Maybe they told me it was going to hurt this bad, but I did not believe it was going to hurt this bad. I knew there'd be some pain, but I didn't think it'd be this bad.
They didn't tell you in that 3-hour class how much it was going to hurt?
No. They said some people wake up and it's so much better that there's actually less pain than before they had the surgery.
Huh.
I figured I was one of those guys.
Yeah.
Especially when the doctor described to Mary when he went, told her how the surgery went, and he said he had quite impressive bone wear at the top of his tibia. He said, I don't think I've seen one worn down that far and someone's still walking.
Really?
Yeah. So he said, normally the device we use is 9 millimeters, but for him we had to use 19 millimeters.
Because you had ground it down that much?
Yeah. He said, but his leg is considerably straighter now, so I'm not as bow-legged as I was.
Well, congratulations, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I just hope this thing heals soon.
I'm sure you'll be up and at him no time.
And then one of the benefits that was pointed out to me is now I guess I'm considered a cyborg because I'm part machine and part man. So maybe when the robots rise to take us all over, they'll grant mercy on me as like a stepchild of theirs or something and take me in.
I've got my eye on you.
I want to turn all you humans in so that I can live with my robot brothers.
Was it? I for one welcome the day. Well, this episode, we decided we were going to do something that's kind of current, and it's been in the news nationally quite a bit, and locally even more, if that's possible.
Yeah, it's been in the news a lot here. It's the talk of the day everywhere you go. Now, I know nationally, it's got to be people looking and saying, what are those fellas in West Virginia doing? You can't do that. What's going on over there?
So we're
going
to talk about the West Virginia Supreme Court situation.
Or lack thereof.
So we talked about this several episodes ago. We talked about the scandal that was kind of going on with regards to the Supreme Court. It all started when there was an investigation into some spending that was taking place at the Supreme Court during some renovations and things like that. And one of the most outlandish things was that one of the justices had a $32,000 couch.
They purchased a sexual couch.
Sectional couch.
I was misled on that.
I'm going to have to tell you, if I'd known it was just a sectional, I wouldn't have paid that much. the justice had bought this couch, and they had done like just tons and tons of renovations and spent a lot of money. I think it was almost like a $3 million thing, and it was just major spending by the Supreme Court.
But at the time, we were under the impression it was pretty much that one justice.
Yeah.
Alan Laffery.
Laffery, yeah.
Laffery.
All the justices had basically renovated their chambers and whatnot. Some of them said the renovations, a lot of them were structural things like taking care of plumbing and electrical things like that. But they were all pretty pricey. I mean,
yeah.
The next closest one I think was like $500,000 or something like that. And there was like $300,000 and then $100,000. I mean, pretty good chunks of change to renovate these chambers, especially when you consider that the state is not exactly what you might call financially awesome, Is that a legal term?
Yeah, that sounds like one.
Yeah. So anyway. Well,
and also, I mean, I have no idea what these chambers looked like ahead of time. So, I mean, if they looked like cabins with, you know, cook stoves in the corner for heat and stuff like that, that'd be one thing if you spent that much money on them. But I'm assuming they were at least decent looking offices. But I know when you spend $8,400 for office chairs, you know, something's wrong there.
Yeah, and this wasn't one of those things where the chambers were available for the public to kind of go through and enjoy like some sort of museum or even really the Senate or the legislature, for that matter, the House of Delegates, because at least in those buildings, the public is allowed access to it. They can kind of come through and enjoy it and see it almost maybe like a museum or an ode to our government or whatever.
Ode to our government.
the Supreme Court, though, is
odor to our government.
Yeah, there's some odor coming out of there. The Supreme Court, though, is completely closed off, so it's not like you could even go in there and see these.
Yeah,
things.
Those are private chambers.
Yeah, the one thing what? That Loffrey did had a there's 55 counties in West Virginia, and he had this large mural inlay in his floor with each of the 55 counties in a different kind of wood, and then his home. Tucker County was in like I think blue marble or something like that.
Yeah.
So and it was outlandish how much he spent on that. So
well, I saw one of them had some big fancy like shower in it or something too.
Really?
Yeah.
Then I know Justice Davis. She had a two rugs she had put in that were like $28,000, and her comment on it was those rugs will last the people of West Virginia quite some time.
So well, the people of West Virginia will never get to walk on those rugs.
Exactly.
She also bought her own desk chair for the cost of $8,100.
Right.
A single chair.
Yeah. So she actually, I think, had repaid the state for that.
She repaid some money, yes.
Yeah, that was kind of after all this came out,
but
I believe.
She was the second highest of the spenders.
Yeah. So procedurally where we are, this whole investigation came to light, I don't know, was it maybe January? When it all took place, December, January, there was a Twitter account that popped up. It was called Justice Loffrey's Couch. It was pretty fun to follow. But anyway, so this all popped up, and we really didn't think too much was going to come of it, but maybe the voters would have to remember this next time that they ran. Because essentially, unlike any other state, the West Virginia Supreme Court controls their own budget. So you think that with the separation of powers, that would be kind of the normal thing, that each court system would control their own budget, but that's actually not true. The House of Delegates or the Senate or the legislature in each of these states actually control the purse strings for the courts, and it's the same way it is federally as well. But in West Virginia, we're like kind of the outlier. We're the only ones that do it that way. So we thought basically based on that, until there was a constitutional amendment, there was no way that anybody could get in trouble for this. I mean, it was definitely shocked the senses or whatnot, but it wasn't really illegal.
I didn't think it was against the rules. I thought it might be frowned upon.
Oh, it's definitely frowned upon. So fast forward from January, and since then, there was I believe, 22-count indictment that came out against Alan Loffrey. It had a lot to
federal
do
indictment.
Federal indictment. It had a lot to do with mail fraud, tampering with witnesses, obstruction of justice, these types of things. So he is actually set to go to trial coming up this fall. And then another Supreme Court justice, there's only five, Justice Menace Ketchum, he actually pled guilty to a misdemeanor. And I forget which charge it was. I think it was
It was the same type thing because they were
using... It was mail fraud.
But that's using a gas card for personal business, state gas card for personal business.
Yeah.
And claiming it's from the state.
Yeah, and they had the West Virginia Supreme Court cars as well that they were driving around. And they're only supposed to be used for official business, but they were using them...
They just were their own.
Yeah, kind of like their own car. Mm-hmm.
They had instructed people, don't ask where I'm going. I know that you're supposed to ask and you're supposed to log it in, but don't ever ask me where I'm going because I'm not going to tell you and you're not going to log it in.
Ironically, the main thing that Loffrey did was drive the Supreme Court car to the Greenbrier, which is a luxurious resort in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, and he was there for a book signing on his book, which dealt with the history of public corruption in the government in West Virginia. So
that's, takes one to know one.
It's the big old irony pill right there.
Yeah.
So, given those two things, we figured there was kind of probably going to be some impeachment process coming forward. Menace Ketchum, he actually resigned kind of abruptly, just like a handwritten note said, I'm out. So based upon that, we were down to four justices. And then pending the federal indictment, all this stuff, Loffrey was suspended. So we were down to three justices, and we thought that was going to be the pretty much the complete fallout based upon the fact that the lavish spending and whatnot, although frowned upon, probably not illegal. So,
but then our governor, Jim Justice, he calls a special session of the legislature to look at impeachment.
Yep.
And so they examined the, of course, we've gone through what impeachment takes.
Yeah.
And so the House of Delegates went through looking for articles of impeachment to pass on to the Senate.
Now, the way procedurally, the way this works is there is the House Judiciary Committee. So we have the House of Delegates and we have the Senate. So the House of Delegates has a Judiciary Committee and they meet. And what they did is they drew up articles of impeachment. And so kind of blindsided everybody, but they drew up articles of impeachment for all of the justices, not just the ones who had the real criminal charges against them. So the thing is that this kind of goes back to where we're going to go with this, is that, yes, it was wrong, but also this is going to be slightly politically motivated, because here's the interesting thing. The Supreme Court was made up of 3-2 Democrats to Republicans.
Even though running for these positions are nonpartisan positions.
That's right.
You're not supposed to, political party should not enter into it.
Right, but 3 out of the 5 justices were Democrats. So the Senate and the House are controlled by Republicans. We have a Republican governor. Well, he is now.
He is now. He started out as a Democrat, then changed.
Yeah.
Trump twisted his arm.
Twisted something. So basically, this House Judiciary Committee, which is made up mainly of Republicans in a Republican-controlled House, drew up these articles of impeachment for the remaining justices. And they named all of them. And part of it was the lavish spending. Part of it was this procedure whereby they allowed senior status retired judges to hear cases, and they compensated them additionally for that. And there was some question about whether or not they had done that properly, because it was supposed to be limited to a certain amount, and the limits weren't really adhered to. So yeah.
So the retired judges were getting paid more than they were supposed to.
Right. And it actually went to only certain retired judges, not all of them. There were a couple that kind of got handpicked for these kind of nice things.
You're not saying there's a good old boy system in West Virginia, are you?
Not at all.
I wouldn't think so.
Some of the other things that were drawn up were they used, I guess, independent contractors to write opinions. One of them was paid like $10,000. And they became, I think they became the court administrator or something like that later on. But so there was just some different kind of things in there that were a little kind of hinky. Again, not really anything that was illegal per se or anything they had to worry about criminal charges, but just things that kind of shocked the conscience a little bit, I guess. So the House Judiciary drew up these articles of impeachment and they presented it to the full House for a vote. So this is what went up for debate earlier this week. And so it was late Monday night, and this is after a long day of discussion and debates and speeches and whatnot. The West Virginia House of Delegates passed 11 articles of impeachment against the remaining 4 justices of the Supreme Court. Now, when I say this is unheard of, I don't know that it's ever happened anywhere in the country when you've had something like this.
In some context, I look at what they're charging them with, and I say, that probably goes on all the time in corporate America. You know, people padding their expense account and stuff like that. But you're talking about Supreme Court justices. So shouldn't you expect more out of them?
I think you absolutely should. And if you watched a lot of the debate that took place on that Monday, and I tried to watch as much as I could while working and whatnot, had it on in the background, nobody really stood up for the justices and said what they did was right.
Right.
Everyone was just kind of like, hey, we don't like it any more than you do. But what it came down to is a lot of the Democrats were saying this is some sort of political witch hunt, mm-hmm. and that what they're doing, or what they did basically, although morally reprehensible and we don't agree with it, and it's the couch costs more than the median income of a West Virginian, there's really nothing constitutionally illegal about what they did. And really the remedy for this is for the voters to remember next time they run.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the basis for the argument. But it seemed like, and again, this went pretty much down party lines, it seemed like the Republicans were pushing pretty hard for impeachment for everybody. And the reason why is because of how the justices are replaced, which is kind of an interesting thing too, which we'll get into here in a minute.
One of the things that I thought was that struck me as being one of the things that concerned me the most, they said that there was a legislative audit that took place when they started the impeachment proceedings to look at it. And in fiscal year 2012, I don't understand exactly what these terms mean, but it said found that the court had accumulated $29 million in its excess revenue funds in fiscal year 2012. And spent that down to around $333,000 at the start of fiscal year 2016. So if they had an excess $29 million, now that's down to a third of $1 million. Where did all that money go? What did that go for?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. A good chunk of it went for renovations. There's probably a good amount of it that went for outsourcing things to independent contractors and whatnot.
At the same time, they're raising taxes in the state during that time period, 2012 forward, because we were not, you know, we have to have a balanced budget each fiscal year, and we didn't have a balanced budget because we didn't have enough money coming in because coal business had dropped out, and we've done nothing to replace coal, even though we've known about it for 50 years.
And one of the things that really struck a chord with a lot of attorneys is that the Supreme Court, all the while spending this money on renovations, things like that, they were actually cutting down the programs for the appointments of guardian ad litem for children in cases. So to the point where it's almost impossible to have a guardian ad litem now in a case in family court.
So you could have been using that excess $28 million to have more of them to help that for children. And instead, they're spending the money themselves and reducing other programs to get more money coming in.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where I was at a CLE, a continuing legal education, and the attorneys who do some of this court-appointed guardian ad litem work, which was funded by the Supreme Court, were really being kind of talked down to for all the time they were spending on these cases, and said, "We're not going to pay you to open a file. We're not going to pay you to make copies, things like that. You know, those are secretarial tasks. So I don't care if you're a solo practitioner or not. You can't bill for that, and if you do, we're not going to pay you for it." And now, mind you, this is not at a really high rate either for an attorney. I mean, I think it was $85 an hour, which, yeah, that's a good amount of money, but that's considerably less than private attorneys make for cases. So they were trying to really tighten the purse strings around these attorneys who are taking these cases at a lesser rate to represent children.
Well, they had a vested interest in that.
Yeah.
Going in their sexual couch.
Again, I don't think it was a sexual couch.
Hey, you said it first.
Now, the timing of this whole impeachment thing as it took place is a little strange. I want to get into that, but first we actually have some motions to impeach before the court today.
Yes, your Supreme Courtship, we'd like to approach the bench to pay court costs.
All right, who's on the docket?
On the docket today, we have our good friends at sleepnumber.com.
Now, maybe you've considered a Sleep Number bed, but thought you couldn't afford one, but you can really afford another restless night's sleep?
Absolutely not. And there's never been a better time to come to a Sleep Number store, where all beds are on sale during the biggest sale of the year.
The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed lets you choose from the comfort and support that's right for you. It adjusts on each side, so it's the perfect bed for couples.
You know, I've been noticing the Sleep Number 360 commercials on TV lately. Mm-hmm. And every time I say, "Hey, look, that's one of our customers. They like to advertise with us." That's pretty good. Look, they're on TV and they're with us.
So we were
smart choices.
We were kind of on TV too.
Yeah, that's kind of like it's being us. We're like, hey, you should go support those dudes.
And speaking of support, you can actually feel how it contours to your neck, shoulders, back, and hips, and for more proper spinal alignment.
Because everyone needs their spine aligned. And the new Sleep Number 360 smart beds are effortlessly comfortable. They sense your every move and automatically adjust to keep you sleeping blissfully through the night. Does your bed do that?
Come in now during the biggest sale of the year, where all beds are on sale. Plus, save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed now through Labor Day.
Now through Labor Day.
That's right.
You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. There are more than 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide.
Just visit sleepnumber.com/court to find the store near you.
That's right. sleepnumber.com/court. Mike and Tommy say, Have a good night's rest.
Happy dreams, little camper.
So, before the impeachment actually took place on Monday, last week, Chief Justice Davis, she decided she was going to appoint a judge to fill the vacancy left by Justice Loffrey. So, she actually appointed a judge locally here from Cabell County, Judge Paul Farrell. He's a judge I've practiced in front of quite a bit, and he's a very, very reputable jurist.
I know him and his wife.
And so he is now on the Supreme Court. He's a justice. So now we were back up to four, at least, before the impeachment started.
Right.
So here's the interesting thing. After the impeachment, Davis resigned.
Right.
And part of the reason she did that was due to the timing of it and the votes, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. But hypothetically speaking, if the other three remaining justices, not counting Farrell, because he just got up there.
Well, he's only temporary anyway.
He's only temporary. Are impeached, then basically they have to go to a trial before the Senate. And the Chief Justice would be the one who presides over the trial for the impeachment in the Senate. So in theory, Justice Farrell, as it is now, sounds weird saying Justice Farrell, but Justice Farrell now could be the one who presides over the impeachment in the Senate.
I thought the Senate presided over it themselves.
I believe that the actual Chief Justice is the one who presides over it. So, because it's a trial, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of a very weird little thing.
Well, and one of the other things, too, one of the reasons, first of all, she was outraged, and she says that it's all politically motivated, even though she was the second highest spender in renovating her office.
Right.
She said it's all politically motivated, so she went ahead and retired. But she also was aware of that she had like 24 hours that she could resign if by a certain date, like August 15th. If you resign by August 15th, then her position would go up and to be filled. Whereas if it doesn't get opened by August 15th, then it doesn't get filled in a special election, and the governor gets to appoint the replacement.
That's right. So the manner in which justices are replaced and under West Virginia law kind of brings this whole impeachment thing into light. So basically, if a justice leaves office at least 84 days before the next general election, which is coming up in November, voters will have the opportunity to replace her in that election. So basically, they can replace her seat in that election. But if she had less than 84 days before the next general election, then Governor Justice would appoint a replacement who would serve for 2 years before the next general election, which is May of 2020. So basically, they would not hold a special election.
So that's what she was trying to do politically. She didn't want him filling the seat.
Right. Because, again, she felt it was politically motivated.
Right.
She didn't want the Republican, essentially, to be able to fill that seat. It kind of makes me think of her. She's like, I am outraged by this. So,
and, you know, I think there was some of that. The ones that got there after some of the others had already established doing these things, they kind of said, well, I guess this is okay. Everybody else is doing it. And they all kind of dipped their toe in the pond.
Yeah.
So, and then a big old gator came swimming along and took a nip at that toe.
That's pretty colloquial.
Folksy.
I like it.
Don't have too many gators in West Virginia.
No.
We got loggerheads.
Yeah. Those are turtles. One thing I read is an article in Slate by a guy named Mark Stern. And he had a very poignant quote at the end. It said, kicking out judges for partisan purposes is a bad omen for democracy. I thought was pretty profound.
Well, it is. I mean, here you're talking about when our constitutional founders founded this country, they established three branches of the government: the executive, the judicial, and the legislative. Now you've got the legislative branch that is in effect doing away with the judicial branch.
Yeah, because here's the important thing: all these justices, they were actually elected by people.
Right.
It's not like they were appointed by
somebody. Real human beings.
Exactly. And what the legislative branch is doing is taking the vote away from the
and
people.
Appointing them themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because essentially they're going to Jim Justice is going to, I just got that. His name's Justice and he's going to be appointing justices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that clever?
Yeah, I know. So you think that a guy named Justice would be good at administering justice.
So anyway, but yeah, it's just bizarre. And then the whole timing of it, it's all anybody can talk about right now.
Well, and, you know, one of the things you hear is, well, what's happening to all the people that aren't getting to appear before the Supreme Court right now? If all of them are impeached or resigned, Who's hearing the cases? Is that one guy? Is Paul Farrell the only guy up there hearing cases? But actually, nothing's being delayed at all because they've been on recess here for a couple months and don't start back until September.
Yeah, I've actually filed a notice of appeal in a case, but I haven't gotten any kind of scheduling order, which is kind of strange. Usually I get a scheduling order by now.
Well, they could schedule them, but right now they can't because they don't know what's going to happen. But what I'm saying is there aren't any cases that are being held up because they're not actually hearing any cases, even if they were all still there and doing good work.
Well, usually what happens, though, whenever you do a notice of appeal, even if they are in recess, you get a scheduling order, which was done in recess, and actually says that on the order, done in recess. Mm-hmm. So it's just odd. I don't.
Well, maybe they don't know who's still going to be working there. They're going to clean house. See, that's one of the things, too. When you appoint a new justice, not only does that person take that job, he or she gets to bring in their own staff members.
They're in law clerk, they're in everything.
And you know what bears a lot of weight on those who gets those jobs in West Virginia? Your kinfolk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kinfolk jobs get created around there. That's why you look at the Board of Education. Everybody's last name is Adkins.
I'll tell you what, the law clerks for the Supreme Court of West Virginia, I think, are some of the highest paid in the nation.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good gig.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So that's a good thing to aspire to. And those are desirable jobs. And you get them, and some of them come with pensions.
Oh, I think they all do.
So you work there long enough, and you get that pension, you're set for life.
Yeah, I think.
Benefits.
Any kind of state employee like that, if you spend 20 years and you get your 20 years.
It's like winning the lottery.
Well, I don't know if it's like
winning. That's the West Virginia lottery.
I don't think it's like winning the lottery.
Either that or a disability. You want one of the two.
Get yourself a bass boat and a Z-28 and you're good to go.
That's right. A pack of Natty Light.
Now, the debate that they had in the House floor, because that's where we are right now. They've voted on different articles of impeachment on 11 different ones. And the debate that took place on Monday, one of the highlights of the entire debate to me was there was a speech by Delegate Chad Lovejoy, and he's our local delegate here, and
we've known Chad since way before he was a delegate.
Oh, yeah. Our family's known Chad for quite some time.
We won't go into the Blue Monkey incident.
And we, we know him well.
Too well.
And he put on a really excellent speech, and he's a lawyer. He's a really good lawyer as well. Excellent speaker. And it talked about, essentially, are we doing the right thing here? Because if they haven't violated the Constitution, then why are we impeaching them for these things? And, you know, I think he made a lot of really good points. And one of the things he said that he goes, again, this is kind of echoing what we talked about. I find many of these purchases offensive, is what he said. Then he pointed out basically that the legislature had recently spent about $1 million renovating bathrooms in the Capitol, too. So, you know, he kind of pointed that out. Basically, what the Republicans, their whole point was is that, well, it may not have been illegal, but it was kind of maladministration, and that's why it came down to impeachment, which, you know.
And that's one of those terms that's in there that is open to interpretation, maladministration.
Yeah, and I mean, I can kind of see where you're getting close to that. You are kind of getting close to maladministration, but I just don't think that impeaching the entire Supreme Court is what it's called for to rectify that situation.
Well, do you think it's one of those things where, you know, you had the guy that Loughery fired.
Yeah, Steve Canterbury. He was a former administrator of the court.
Right. And he fired him. They didn't get along and stuff like that. And then Loughery tried to blame all the extravagant spending on him and said, look, but I fired him when I found out about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I didn't notice all those new things in my office. I figured out that he'd been doing it, so I fired him. I fixed the problem. So he figured out that he lied about all that. So then Canterbury came forth with this information. So, of course, they had to investigate what was going on. Did all the other ones just get caught up in it because it was hard to draw the line? It's just like, you know, the two that they dropped one of the articles of impeachment against two of them, mm-hmm. because their refurbishing of their offices only took one of them like $111,000 and the other $113,000.
Right.
And they said it paled in comparison to the other ones. So they're not saying that that was an okay amount. They're just saying that compared to the others, they didn't take quite as big a bite of the pie.
Right. And that one justice, Justice Walker, she had not been on the bench up there very long.
A year or something like that.
Yeah. And so she's a Republican, actually. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans wanted to pass some sort of nonpartisan, quote unquote, nonpartisan measure, which would protect her from impeachment. But Democrats were pretty much indignant about that. And so basically what happened is, I think even though that Walker was a Republican and they really kind of didn't want to do that to her, I think they just basically, for lack of a better term, slit her throat because, hey, we're taking down the whole court. So
that's what kind of
you
what
got,
I'm saying.
You got to go too.
I don't think they intended to take down the whole court. I just think they didn't know where to draw the line, and it was like,
well, I think
it's better to clean house and start over than it is to leave anybody there and have to face those kind of questions about why was she okay and the other ones weren't.
Yeah. Well, I think the only way they could get to the two Democrat justices was if they went ahead and threw it in the Republican too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they figured, hey, you know what? Sorry.
You know,
we're going to take you down too.
I couldn't have even told you who the Republicans and who the Democrats were.
No.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it really shouldn't matter.
I mean, I know that they have a party affiliation,
yeah,
but they don't run under a party affiliation. They're actually elected in the primary for most cases.
Well, I mean, I should say Walker, she was actually nonpartisan, mm-hmm, but the Republicans liked
claim her.
Yeah, claim her. Yeah.
They ran all the ads from the party that you don't know who it is.
Yeah.
The party to feed the people wants you to know what a scum this other person is. Vote for this one. They're our candidate.
So now, given the fact that the whole Supreme Court is kind of clearing out, there's big talk about who's going to be running for Supreme Court now. So everybody's throwing their hat in the ring as to who's going to run for the open positions. It's just judicial chaos here.
Yeah, I read the list of names, and there was some real characters in there, it sounded like.
Oh, were there?
Now, I will only say that there was only one name that I recognized on the list. The rest of them I didn't recognize, but you can run from anywhere in the state. So the one name I recognized would have state recognition because he was a federal leader. He wasn't a state leader, you know, so he wasn't just elected by part of the state. He was elected by the whole state.
You're talking about Evan Jenkins?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to run for that too.
Yeah, he's running for it. Now, the other ones, though, were all from different parts of the state. And, you know, I never heard of any of them, but some of them had some colorful nicknames.
Yeah. Well, one of the colorful nicknames the Supreme Court justice had few years ago, which was part of a scandal as well, was Spike Maynard. Remember?
Yeah, I remember Spike Maynard.
That was the one where he was actually found to be on vacation with Don Blankenship on the French Riviera.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
basically
they showed all those pictures.
Yeah, they were on vacation together, but he was actually getting ready to rule on one of his cases as well. So that was, I think, that was actually the basis for a John Grisham novel. Yeah. That came out too.
Yeah, that didn't go too well for old Spike. Spike got spiked in the next election.
So for whatever reason, the Supreme Court of West Virginia seems to always kind of be in the limelight when it comes to these kind of scandalous type things. Although, you know, as we've been talking about this a little bit on the court appointed Facebook page, there have been quite a few other states that have had their own issues as well. I think Kansas had one with their gubernatorial race. Somebody always chimes in about Illinois governors.
Illinois governors, yeah. Really, all of the legislators, I think, from Illinois or from New Jersey.
Yeah.
You hear them caught up in things all the time. In New Jersey, it's always about property going on there because there is a lot of money to be made in ruling certain ways on zoning things and changing what can be built where and all this kind of stuff because there's no property left anywhere. So if you can change something and somebody can make some money off of it, you can make some money off of it.
Yeah. Now, one of the interesting things that they tried to do, now, the debate on Monday that took place, it went on well into the night, well past midnight. They actually wanted to additionally try to pass some sort of resolution to censure previous justices. So they wanted to actually file some sort of censorship against Menas Ketchum, who had already resigned, and also Brent Benjamin, who was a former justice as well. So basically, there was blood in the water, I think, at the legislature, and they were wanting to just like, you know, wanting to make statements against all these previous justices too. But, you know, as I think, as was pointed out by one of the legislators, he goes, well, how far back can you go to a former government employee like that? Can you try to censor Abraham Lincoln for something he did? You know what I mean? We don't have the power to do this anymore. So
right.
They were really just out for blood, I think, at that point. And I think that basically this was not so much the House of Delegates using a lot of their legal prowess or sense of what constitutionally by the strict construction of what is right or what is wrong. They're not really following that. I think they were following the will of their constituents who were just indignant about this. I'm sure that in a lot of these rural counties, these delegates were getting phone calls from people saying, how is that guy spending $32,000 on a couch? You know, and I haven't worked in 2 years or 3 years. You know, that's more than my house costs.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's some of the things. They said that there was a culture of entitlement is the way they framed it, the way the justices operated that way, with a culture of entitlement. And is they would use terms, it's like they would compare the cost of the couch against the median salary in West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, this couch cost more than the median yearly income for an average West Virginian. And then they showed the renovations on the one, and they were saying, you know, it was more than five times the amount of the average cost of a house in West Virginia.
Yeah.
So they renovated their office for this amount, and you can get a house, you know, for five times less than that.
Yeah, one of the things, too, and we talked about this as well, that this is one that always gets me, was the Cass Gilbert desk. And that was one of the things that Loffrey was impeached for taking that desk back to his house and then using court personnel to try to secretly move it back to the Supreme Court chambers.
Well, he had a neighbor that must have really had it in for him.
Yeah.
Because the neighbor was filming him.
Yeah. The story goes is that they sent over some court personnel to take this desk back to the Capitol. And that there was a neighbor who was out there filming it, so they didn't move it because they saw the guy filming him.
Yeah.
And they waited till the neighbor left, and then they grabbed it, and then they took it back.
So, but they still got him on film.
They did. They must have just, you know, it was a little cat and mouse game.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, so I don't know how he knew what was going on, but he must have really not liked him. And he wanted to catch him and turn him in there, I guess. But I don't know. I don't know. Have you seen that desk?
Yeah, I've seen a picture of it.
I saw a picture of it. I thought this desk must really be something.
Yeah, yeah, you would think it would be.
And I looked at it. It looks like it's been underwater for 30 years or something like that.
It's not a particularly good-looking desk.
No. I mean, I know it may have historical value, but I wouldn't want to display that thing in my office or my house.
No. I have this, like, kind of...
I don't have a particularly nice office.
I have this, like, kind of particle board-type laminate desk that... has three different sides to it and fits my monitor and some books.
Yeah.
It's great. It's super functional.
Yeah. You don't need one of those.
Yeah. It was a lot less than $32,000.
But I was not impressed when I saw it.
No, I wasn't either. Cause I didn't know what it looked like either. And the first time I saw a picture, I couldn't believe it. I was like, that's the desk.
And the sexual couch.
Her?
It was not what I was expecting.
It's
either.
Like Arrested Development. Her?
It just looked like an ordinary couch. But
yeah.
They said, here's where I guess the cost came in. He had that couch specially built to fit a particular spot in his office.
Yeah, then I think he had to have it upholstered and some sort of crushed velvet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was a made-to-order couch is why it ended up being so much, but it did not look like a great couch. I wouldn't want it in my house.
Yeah.
And I don't have $32,000 couches.
Yeah. The one thing that got Justice Ketchum was, and this is all public records in the federal indictment, actually in the federal plea, because they filed an information, I think, against him. But anyway, it was that he had used a 2007 Buick Lucerne to drive to and from home and to and from different golf outings in the state and things like that. And I'm thinking to myself, how much do you make and why? Is a 2007 Buick Lucerne such a sweet ride that you're just... I mean, it's not like it was the court Ferrari that was like a pleasure to drive.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure his personal car was nicer than that.
You would think so.
I mean, just it amazes me.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's just, okay, well, it's going to save me a few bucks.
Maybe. I don't know.
But if somewhere they're skimming off that $28 million down to $333,000... If you're already raking in that kind of cash, let the cars and the gas bill go, you know?
Yeah.
You don't need to get that, too. That's just getting greedy.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 3 or 4 months. I'm sure we'll have another update about what's taking place.
Well, the big thing's going to be what happens September, whatever it is, 28th or whatever, when the Supreme Court's supposed to reconvene and start hearing cases.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to have the two new elected justices, because there's two of them that resigned. That now they're supposed to vote to replace them in November.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be there. Now, I guess they can appoint temporary ones until that.
I have a friend who actually lost a trial before Judge Farrell recently, and they filed their appeal. And so now Judge Farrell's going to be on the Supreme Court. And they were like, do I need to file a motion to recuse him from it so he can basically rule on it, rule on his own rulings? Or do you think he'll just automatically do it?
Well, here's one of the other
problems. Like, well, he's a pretty good guy. I'm sure he'll probably just go ahead and remove himself from the case.
I would think so.
Yeah. I have the utmost respect for him. He's a good judge.
Here's one of the problems I have is I think those positions, when you're elected to them, it's a 12-year term, isn't it?
Yes.
And so you don't have a big turnover of these people. So when every 12 years you hold an election and one or two of them are there.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have that many more qualified candidates to draw from in West Virginia that often to run for these things. We got the whole gaggle of them open. I don't think we've got five qualified people in West Virginia to run for those jobs now. And I don't know that, I mean, what are the requirements? Do you have to be a judge already? Do you have to be a lawyer?
No.
Or can you just take a test?
No, I mean, I could throw my hat in the ring if I wanted to. I mean, I'm qualified. I've been a lawyer more than 10 years.
Supreme Court Justice?
Yeah.
Mike Meadows.
Yeah. Justice Meadows.
He administers his own type of justice.
I looked at, there's an application for it because they put out an email that went to all the West Virginia bar.
You got
to
send it out.
So
put it in just for the heck of it.
I don't know.
I'll vote for you.
Yeah. You vote for me?
Yeah.
No, thanks.
I guess I'm in your district.
Probably. I hope so. No, I don't.
Would they let you have a podcast if you were a Supreme Court justice, or would they figure that's not very good?
I'd probably have to discontinue it. I'll tell you what.
I'm not going to vote for you.
I'll tell you what, though. My office would be furnished very nicely.
Yeah, get the one that Lawfrey had.
I didn't get a chance.
I got dibs on his office.
I didn't get it to see Judge Farrell after I found out about this and before he took off for Charleston, because he's not in his offices here in Huntington anymore. But I wanted to joke with him. I said, I can't wait to see what you do with the offices.
Yeah. Man, it worries me. What kind of five yahoos are they going to come up with if they got to replace all five of them? I don't think we've got five qualified people at any one time running around here.
I tell you, I'd be a little scared to get up there, honestly, after this, what just took place.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the first guinea pig through the doors there.
Well, now they do have a bill that they haven't voted on yet that's supposed to administer some kind of auditing procedure.
Well, I think what it is constitutionally they're going to switch the purse strings to the legislature away from the court.
Right.
So, and that comes up for voting.
So they'll get audited yearly.
Yeah, and that'll come up in November.
And have to account for everything. And as long as somebody's watching, you tend to do what you're supposed to do. It's when humans believe no one is watching, that's when they start doing things they're not supposed to do. That's what Lou Holtz described character as. Character is what you do when nobody's watching.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a show called True Detective. Did you ever see that?
Mm-hmm.
Where Matthew McConaughey goes on and he's got that real kind of southern accent when he's talking. It's talking about Christianity. He goes, brother, if the only thing keeping somebody in line is the promise of an afterlife, and that's the only reason they're a good person, then that person is a piece of bleep, which is kind of true.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just because it's a promise of something shouldn't be what entices you to do that. You should just be a good person just for the sake of being a good person.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's like the son that was saying to the kid, he said, you need to behave yourself, son. And the boy said, well, if you give me $10, I will. He said, $10? When I was your age, I was good for nothing.
One other thing I forgot to touch on is that if it does go to a trial to the Senate, has 34 members and 22 are Republicans, and it takes a 2/3 vote to impeach. So
that's right on the number, isn't it?
It's right there.
So that would take every one of them to vote it.
Pretty much.
But here's the other thing. You would have to, I'm sure there's going to be an argument whether this was politically motivated or not, but there's a lot of people in West Virginia that are going to be outraged when you start flashing the kind of money and things that these people bought for themselves up there with their dollars. Those dollars came out of our pockets.
Yeah.
And they bought them with our dollars. And there's a lot of people going to be outraged, and they're not going to have much sympathy for those guys.
Yeah.
So you got to understand who you represent as far as where you vote.
I think it's kind of an abuse of the public trust. But again, I don't know that whole legal standard of whether or not it's maladministration or not. I mean, that's such a kind of a up in the air type thing. It's not really definable. I mean, mm-hmm. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I tend to fall more on the kind of strict constructionist type of this. And I think, I mean, I side probably more with like a Delegate Lovejoy our good friend Chad, that I think that I don't think these are necessarily impeachable offenses. I think we don't take the vote out of the citizenship's hands. I think we just remember that next time they run. I think that's how you have to do it.
Hanging Chad.
Yep. One interesting thing, and I think this will probably maybe wrap it up, and this was an interesting thing in an article in the New York Times. There was a quote by Delegate Mike Pushkin, and he's a Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee. He said, "They're going after everyone because it's the balance of the court." And actually, in February, he was one of the first lawmakers who pushed for an investigation into Justice Laufrey at the time, basically for the personal use of state property as well as allegedly trying to cover it up. And at the time, his resolution was brushed aside as ridiculous by the Senate president.
Was Laufrey a Republican or a Democrat?
He is actually a Republican. So the Senate majority kind of laughed at it back then. But then once it all came to light, it was like, well, we gotta get forward.
Maybe it was one of those things. If he was going to go down, then why not go ahead and go after all of them then?
Yeah. I don't know. But it's I think politics had a lot to do with it. I think also the delegates are following their constituents as far as what the public wants their pound of flesh.
Well, you know what they'll tell you about politics.
What's that?
Everything is political except politics. Politics is personal.
That's pretty profound.
It is, especially here in West Virginia.
Yeah.
They've got a long history of corruption and misdeeds and grabbing power and usurping governments and stuff.
We're a contentious folk here in West Virginia.
We sure are.
Well, that's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
So Legal Briefs is the part of the show where we go over different legal terms. This episode was a little bit different because we didn't really get into too much legal jargon type stuff where I can actually ask you some sort of Latin phrase, which is like what I usually like to do. But I'll ask you some questions. What committee draws up the articles of impeachment?
The Legislative Judicial Committee.
Judiciary, yes.
Judiciary.
Yep. And what happens after that, after they draw up the articles of impeachment?
They present them to the House for a vote.
And then if there's a trial, how many...
Goes to the Senate.
How many do you need to convict or impeach?
2/3.
Bang, 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 bang. How many days before the next general election do voters have, or does a justice have to resign in order for it to be at that the weight upon? Let's just strike that. Let me go back to.
I know where you're getting at.
And if a justice leaves office, wait a second.
How many days ahead of an election?
Yeah.
Can they get somebody on the ballot?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to refer to my good old buddy Randy Moss. He was number 84, so I'm going to say 84.
You're right. It was 84. Days. And Justice Davis was just under the nose there. And so.
Yep. She had 24 hours to go.
Yep. There will be an election for her spot. So.
Yep.
And who is our favorite justice on the court now?
Evidently, it's Paul Farrell. He's the only one still standing. He's going to be sitting there singing that Elton John song. I'm still standing.
Oh, I feel for him going up there, though. That's
not a good environment to walk into.
It's going
to
be a tough job for him, but I think he's a very good judge, and I think he's the good person to be up there right now to sort through it, because he's pretty straightforward, and he's if you looked up a picture of a judge in the dictionary, mm-hmm. it would look like him.
It would, huh?
I think so.
Can we take your picture? You look like a judge, and we need a picture of one in our dictionary. Who in the hell ever has a dictionary these days?
You're like, wait a second. This is a picture of Judge Reinhold. What are you talking about?
Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well, then not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually.
Good.
This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I'm just a dude.